Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
But first, it's hard to beat a good glass of wine paired with good company and nice food. And while the climate may not be the best to produce top-class wines here in Ireland, we're certainly not short in supply of fantastic wine bars. So for this week's industry review, I wanted to assess how the industry is faring, and joining me to do that is Brian O'Keefe. He's the owner of Loose Cannon Cheese and Wine. Beverly Matthews is the owner of Latitude 51 in Cork City. I'm also joined by Enrico Fantasia of Piglet Wine Bar. What a great name, Enrico. Thank you for joining us. Brian, we might start with you.
Yeah, don't worry about my name.
We might start with you, and you might just, I suppose, for our listeners, in your view, what's the difference between a wine bar and a restaurant?
I guess one would have a big enough kitchen and offer a big menu and hot food. And a wine bar is typically a place that you can probably come and get a glass of wine without needing to worry about food, but there might be food available.
Sure, yeah. So it's the offer is essentially wine-led, maybe rather than food-led would be.
Yeah, maybe specifically rather than being chef-led.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So all three of you here have wine backgrounds, which is interesting. Enrico, you were in the wine business. I think you're still in it in terms of supplying wine to wholesalers. So tell us a little bit about your offer in Piglet Wine Bar down there in the lovely Temple Bar.
Well, we have a massive wine list. It's over 28 pages.
Wow.
And it's getting out of control. the problem is I buy wines, my business partner buy wines. We don't talk to each other, and we have different ideas on that. So it's a kind of a controlled, semi-controlled mess. But with something for everyone. The idea when we opened Piglet was to open the place that we like, where we would like to go and drink.
Yeah.
And so let's say that is about 50-50 between more classic wines and something more, I don't want to say natural, I don't want to get into that debate and what is natural wine and what is not, but, you know, low intervention wines.
Well, thank you for your honesty in saying that your wine is too big and you have disagreements with your partner. Your partner is Thibaut, is that right?
Yes, exactly.
About who buys what and how much the stock levels are. But it's lovely, though, to have a business that's driven with such a passion from wine, that's the premise of what you do. It all starts and ends with the wine.
Exactly. You know, we have a small kitchen, so there is a food offering. It's probably borderline our place with a restaurant, but the focus is always wine. We have basically three wine lists, but there is a small one, you know, with easier and maybe more entry level wines. Then there is the main wine list, and then we have a third wine list with all vintages, large formats. So there is, I think, something for everyone there.
That's great. Before we go down to Cork and talk to Beverly, Brian, maybe tell us a little bit about Loose Cannon. And am I right in saying that you set up Loose Cannon on the basis that you didn't really think there was anywhere you could pop in for a glass of wine in Ireland? In other words, it was a kind of an experience that you had on the continent that you thought you could replicate here.
Yeah, I lived in France, and basically it would have been super common to go and get a glass of wine, not have to worry about food or getting food. And we kind of didn't really have that a huge amount in Ireland. So when I came back, I kind of thought, you know, that, and I was into natural wine. And that was just kind of in its infancy.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought, why don't we combine both of those and open something in Dublin where you can come, chill out, get a glass of wine. And oddly enough, it works in Ireland because we do have a very strong tradition of drinking without consuming food.
Yeah.
You know, look at a pub. Like, though that is changing now, and a lot of pubs are going gastro pubs. But in general, in Ireland, people like to just drink to whatever level without necessarily eating. And why should that not be the case in the wine world as well?
Yeah. And what I love about your offer, and it's not far from us here, I've been in many times, is the way you've embraced cheese as your sort of secondary, and your toasties are legendary.
Toasties are
because,
good, yeah.
Because they're done in a way that really promotes Irish cheese. So the offer makes a lot of sense to me. But I think it's wonderfully simple in its in how you basically
the best
portray
are
it. Yeah.
So good. it's all Irish cheese, and then I opened Loose Cannon with Kev, who was on the show last time with myself, and he used to be a cheesemaker in Cavan with Silke Krop, and it just kind of led into okay, well, cheese and wine go together. We're in Ireland. Why not have 100% Irish artisan cheese? And pair that with long
wonderful idea. And I'm delighted you're going so well. Beverly, I'm sorry for taking so long to get you. You're the owner of Latitude 51 down there in the lovely Cork City. Tell us a little bit about your business and indeed your background.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Hi.
So basically, I started out, I guess my love for wine originated when I was living in Italy, and I was getting to taste incredible wines, incredible food and so on. Came back to Ireland in 1999, and I was working in IT for about 12 years. But at the same time, I started doing my diploma in wines and spirits. And the original plan was to set up wine tours to go back to Italy. I had been doing that for friends and friends of friends and so on. And I really wanted to make a business out of it. But then the recession hit. So that kind of put paid to that. And I was also made redundant around the same time. So I kind of had this, there was this crossroads in my life where I kind of went, what do I do now? I've just finished this diploma. I have this pot of money, so to speak. But we were in the middle of a recession, so it was kind of a difficult time to set up a business back in 2011. But there was another girl who was also doing the diploma with me, was also made redundant at the same time. And we both sort of had an idea of maybe setting up a wine shop. But then when we did the maths and the sums and so on, we realized that it was going to be just, it just wasn't going to work, not in the recession. So we came up with the idea that a wine bar might be a little bit recession-proof because you can come in, have, as Brian was saying, you can have that glass and maybe just a snack and you've kind of had a night out without breaking the bank. The good thing about 2011 was there were a lot of venues around. There was a lot of vacant properties. So we spent our time, we were looking for somewhere in Italy that was fully licensed because we wanted to be able to do that, offer the freedom to be able to come in and just have a glass of wine, not necessarily have food, but we also wanted to offer food if people wanted that as well. So after 8 months searching, we eventually found One Union Quay, which is where we are today. Or as I say, I think it found us. Just the timing of everything seemed to work perfectly. So that's where we started out.
Great.
And that's where I still am. Emma left the business in 2015.
And am I right in saying, Beverly, that you also have a retail offer? I haven't been into your premises.
So that's what we always did, a little bit of retail, but really it was something that I guess COVID changed a lot of businesses for many people. And it was the one thing that saved our bacon because we were able, shops, as you know, were able to open. Wine was an essential product. A lot of people took that was the one highlight of the day, where they were able to cook nice food, have a nice bottle of wine and so on. So we were able to open, and we did that for 6 months in 2021, operating as a wine shop. And what that has allowed us to do is increase the number of listings or the wines that we carry. So we went from initially having about 100 wines on our list to 400 wines today.
Wow. Okay. So there's plenty of variety, plenty of complexity, I'd suggest, in terms of what you buy. Enrico, how do you decide? You've already alluded to the fact that it's a problem, but how do you decide what wines to stock? What's your thought process around what might sell? Just give us let us into your head in terms of how you select the various wines.
I think that the main thing, the most important thing for me is that it has to be a wine that I like.
Right.
That I would drink. And then it's easier to sell it, you know, if you like it. We have... what is very important for me is what is behind the wine, the person that is making it, and and the farming behind it. Those are basically the three main things. Then there is, you know, the price factor.
And in terms of your customer base, do they tell you, like, do you get feedback around, you know, maybe you should stock this wine, or what about this great vineyard in southern France that no one ever heard of? Or
Not really. You know, they like to be surprised. They like to come and try different things. And you see, also to give the possibility to try more wines, we sell wine by the glass in two different sizes. You know, a smaller one and a larger glass, just to give the possibility to, you know, to experience.
So how many wines by the glass would be available on a typical evening in Piglet?
I think about 20, something
right.
like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. No, well, I love the concept of, and I know you're talking to the converted here, Brian, but just the idea of being able to go in, have a glass of wine and a cheese board, as you know, and come out without feeling that I've broken the bank. It's just a lovely, relaxed way spend a couple of hours.
It's a different way of spending time and a different way of drinking as well. It's a lot slower. You kind of consume less alcohol. Naturally, I think drinking wine is a barrier to getting absolutely hammered, which is the tradition that we have in Ireland as well. So it's a different way of looking at alcohol. It's way more slowed down, a little bit more refined.
One of the things, the common denominators I again see among all my three guests here today is, you know, your selection around natural, independent, minimal intervention wines. And I'd ask you, how concerned is the customer about that?
I would say maybe some people come into Lewiscan, they haven't a clue, and they find out maybe after the fourth or fifth time that, oh, you know, this is all organic, low intervention, natural wine. But I'd say a lot of people also come in specifically because of that.
Yeah.
And no matter what, if you've come in without knowing, or if you do know, you probably taste the difference. And most people who taste the difference taste it in an enjoyable way. They go, oh, there's something different about that. What is that? And then they begin asking. But
they can be different the next day as well, can't they? In terms of the hangover, I'm told that, you know, natural organic wines, that there's less of a hangover.
Yeah, my own opinion.
If that's myth, or
if you drink enough of anything, you're gonna be in a bad way.
What would you say about that, Enrico?
Well, it depends, you know, on how much you drink. You know.
Yeah. But like for like, if I had...
Well, definitely,
If I had a half bottle of organic or natural wine versus...
Definitely the hangover is less...
Because there's less toxins.
Yeah, exactly. But also because technically it's the liver that is working both on the alcohol and on the chemicals that you put on some conventional wines, or let's say the more entry-level...
Yeah,
cheaper wines that are available everywhere. And so if you give two jobs to do to the liver, at a certain point it's going to say, okay, thank you very much, I'm out of here, and you're on your own. And that's exactly the problem. You know, it's not that you don't get an hangover drinking organic wines, you get an organic hangover, but, you know, the effects are less.
So what we're saying is an organic hangover isn't as bad as a regular hangover.
Exactly.
That's the summary here. Beverly, can I go back to you in terms of how do you set a price on wine? I was looking at some of your notes around how you work your margins, cash margins, etc. But picking a particular price point that the customer will endure, what's your science behind that?
Yeah, so I guess, so we initially started out with the percentage cash margin, percentage margin, which is the standard in hospitality.
Yeah.
But we found that people were always, they were kind of choosing from the lower end of the list, which makes it pretty pretty dull as a wine bar owner, where you've got this list of incredible wines and they're just not moving. So we wanted people drinking better, drinking more exciting wines. So we sat down, I think this is about 2013, we sat down and we decided, at what point do we need to cover all our costs, make a margin, make a profit, but still offer people value for money? And we came up with a fixed amount. Now, this is kind of on a sliding scale, but it's kind of a fixed amount that we can apply to wines in order to give us a everything we need to cover our costs.
I think it's a lovely philosophy, and I think it's a very intelligent business case, because essentially what you're doing is you're taking less margin as the price goes up. So you're encouraging people to spend more, and you're lowering your margin depending on an increased spend, which I think is a really logical way to do. And theoretically, everybody should win from that arrangement.
Exactly. I mean, and ultimately it reflects better on us as well, because people are going, oh my God, that wine was really, really good, you know. So, and then they start, you're building trust then with the customer, and they're, the next time they say, well, we might go for something that's a little bit more expensive again, because they know at the higher end there's better value to be had.
Okay. Brian, we've heard a lot of debate, and particularly in the wider hospitality area, about the pressure on costs, the availability of labour. In terms of your own operation, costs such as insurance, cleaning products, they've gone through the roof, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. Most things have gone up, to be honest. And it's even things like paying for outdoor furniture, or like to have the permission to put tables outside.
That's a Dublin City Council charge.
Yeah, not that that went up, but it is just a large proportion of the year. Our rent has stayed the same. We have really good landlords in George Zerke, the Leyden family. But apart from that, I can't name one thing that hasn't gone up. The accounting fee has gone up. Anything that you buy in, consumables, all the food has gone up.
And how do you square that circle when it comes to, back to again, how you set your prices? I know there's been a lot of debate around VAT. Arguably, the VAT isn't your money. So it shouldn't really, theoretically anyway, it should mean that...
Typically the VAT issue in hospitality affects people selling a lot of food, so restaurants, because wine is at the higher rate of VAT, which has never been changed.
Correct.
So that wouldn't be a huge issue for us. It is, obviously, we do sell toasties and cheese, and those affect that. But no, the VAT wouldn't be a huge thing. But just in general, electricity, every single cost that I can think of has kind of gone.
And has that brought into question, or have you looked then at how viable this business is
to be on
the basis of these increased costs?
Yeah, I mean, not only have all the costs gone up, but the whole world shifted. You know, for 2 years, we couldn't sell wine by the glass. Now we're back 2 years selling wine by the glass. And it's very difficult to even know what kind of business you have. We used to be kind of quiet in summer. Now we're really busy in summer. Oddly enough, our Christmases have been quieter since the pandemic. So it's difficult to get your head around the business at all and where it's going in the future.
Yeah.
You know, and then on top of that, you're looking at all the costs going up, and then not a huge amount of help from the government or even direction. Do you know, like the minimum wage went up, which I fully support, meant all wages went up. They announced that they would have some kind of package for small businesses, and so far...
no sign.
Yeah, well, we got, there's like a grant for half your rates back. If you sit down with the accountant and look at what the rates cost compared to everything else, it's...
Well, the rates model is well broken and needs to be absolutely re-examined.
Yeah, exactly.
Enrico, in terms of your own business model, have you found it difficult to make a profit in recent years?
Well, definitely. It's, you know, the problems are always the same. You know, everything that Brian just said applies to everyone, you know.
Yeah.
The increasing cost of everything, even wine, you know, wine itself is more expensive now than it was before. Here in Ireland, wine is expensive. You know, there is this incredible excise duty that we have to pay that brings everything.
I think that's just life, isn't it? It's hard to see there will be any change in that.
Well,
because
exactly. It's utopical to think that any government is going to reduce a tax where they're making lots of money. So it's we need to live with that.
Last word to you, Beverly. In terms of the future of the business, how's it looking down there in Cork?
Yeah, I mean, you can't rest on your laurels. You always have to be creative. I mean, 2023 was a very good year for us. One of the things, I guess, it was people coming out of the pandemic and so on, and people really sort of getting comfortable with being out again. So 2023 was very good. We had a good June in that the weather was fantastic, and after COVID, the council gave us these umbrellas to four of the businesses that run side by side on Union Quay, but they can't be used even though they're these giant parasols. If it's raining, they just can't be used. And then from July and August onwards, last year there was rain, so if the weather's good, business is good. But then if the weather's bad, you have to think about other ways to attract people in. The summer so far has been a bit hit and miss. There's a lot of people are away, so you just have to be creative. You just have to try and think of different ways to keep keep in people's minds, people's eyes, and to get people in the door. Always a challenge.
Beverly Matthews, owner of Latitude 51, Enrico Fantasia of Piglet Wine Bar, and Brian O'Keefe, owner of Loose Cannon, thanks so much for letting us into your world today. Great sector you're in, and your passion comes through, all three of you. So thank you for joining us today.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.